talk to me, damn it, or else I'm gonna throw you in the fire!
You like scary movies?
Ghost story and horror film addict.
Ooh, scary movie.
Welcome to Spooky Night with your favorite uncle and host, Alexis Chainsaw Massacre.
Hey y'all, welcome to Boogie Nights. This is your favorite uncle and host, Alexis Chainsaw Massacre. I am joined with two of the four podcasts, Mr. Meowgy and Paisley, Puffaluff, Puffy, whatever the fuck you want to call her. And we have back with us again, Bizarro.
Hello, hello.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm back.
We are sponsored tonight by Coors Banquet.
And Masthead.
And Masthead.
More importantly.
And we're not sponsored by either of them, but we've been drinking them. And you want...
My mood is sponsored by...
My mood...
is sponsored by Masthead.
Yeah, because, not gonna lie, I was in kind of a funk. Took a little bit of beers and watching a Nickelodeon documentary to kind of get me back. And some real, nostalgic type of shit. And I was talking to Arlo about how... Are You Afraid of the Dark is one of the couple things that is instrumental in me being a horror fan.
Uh-huh.
And just had, a little jog down memory lane, and now we're here.
It's fun, yeah. Feeling good about the day.
Absolutely. And today we wanted to talk about not one, but two movies. And there's the only commonality between the two of them is that the trailers were hard and heavy for both of these movies, and I was very concerned that the trailers were going to ruin both of them.
Which trailers tend to do.
Yes. Yeah. Which we've gone on those rants.
Sure.
And we will continue to.
Absolutely.
So today you're going to find out what they are. Did the trailers ruin them? Stay tuned at 11.
Bum, bum, bum.
Actually, it's only 9:30. But happy Earth Day. So today we are going to talk to you guys about Renfield and Evil Dead Rise. So it's going to be an interesting podcast because Arlo did not see Evil Dead Rise, but he has no intentions on it. And we're going to talk all about that and why, who, what, when, where, see what happens. Well, let's talk about what you did watch. Let's talk about Renfield.
Renfield was fun.
Renfield was lots of fun. And as some of you may know, I am a huge Nick Cage fan. I have never sought a friendship with a celebrity so hard. It's completely platonic. I have no sexual attraction to the man. I just want to be his friend.
I do.
Slightly. I just sent a TikTok to one of my coworkers yesterday of him. It must have been like late 80s, early 90s of him with like Ed Sullivan or something. He's just doing like somersaults out of the stage and going like, ha! And introducing himself. I'm like, this man is just fucking nuts.
He's amazing.
But it's amazing how the internet works. And so I've seen so many reactions to people being like, okay, Renfield looks like a good movie, but then they find out Nick Cage isn't it, and they completely lose interest.
Well, he's not the star of the movie. He's definitely a supporting actor.
Yes.
It's not the story of Dracula. It's the story of Renfield.
Yes. And for those of you that don't know, Nick Cage is no stranger to being a vampire. Watch Vampire's Kiss if you haven't. I do believe it's on Hulu. He's reprising role not only as a vampire, but as Dracula himself. But like you said, he is not the main character. And that being said, he was in the movie a lot more than I was expecting him to be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, the story's based around him, but he, it's not driven by him.
Right. And, okay.
On screen.
We just looked this up. Renfield's actor name, Nicholas
Holt.
Holt. Holt. Holt. Yeah. Holt. 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 I don't know. That's might be his name.
And he was in more projects than we had realized.
Yeah, we had looked up the filmography on IMDb. Very reliable app to have if you're curious.
Also not sponsored.
Yeah, but IMDb, please. The only thing I really recognized him from that I forgot about, he plays Beast in the X-Men movies, which I didn't realize, but one that we had just watched that we both loved was The Menu.
Yeah, sidebar. Good.
Yeah.
Fun movie.
Yeah, that movie was a great mixture of horror, some dark comedy, some thriller.
Yeah, so it was really funnier than I thought it was
going to be. It was hilarious, and like we've watched the Food Network pretty religiously for a lot of years, and you see those really serious chefs that are like, oh, the only way you'll really enjoy this meal is if you fart onto the plate, and then the bits of turd that are on it like really complement the spinach and the menu definitely takes a stab at that.
Yeah, so this Renfield is one of the leading or one of the stars of that movie too.
Yeah, Anya Taylor-Joy's date, we'll say.
Yes, yeah.
And he, in that movie, he plays one hell of a character, I'll just say that. Watch The Menu.
It's good.
Yes. But Renfield, so he plays Renfield, and it had been a while since I've seen any Renfield characters in the movie. Like, one that our sister-in-law was talking about was Dracula Dead and Loving It, which I haven't seen it forever. So there's movies where Renfield is, around, but he's never the shining star.
Mm-hmm. And I was confused. He is Dracula's familiar.
He is.
You know.
But, yes.
And I was confused to what that meant and everything.
Yeah, which that was one thing to sidebar real quick. One of these days, I think you and I need to do a What We Do in the Shadows podcast. Because, oh my god, you guys, if you haven't watched it, fucking watch that show. Excuse me.
Gold.
But gold. The one, I think the main difference in, like, one of the things we were rehashing is that in What We Do in the Shadows, Guillermo is a familiar that is just jonesing to be turned into a vampire. He has no powers, but Renfield does.
Renfield does, yeah. He has, he's also centuries old and has been Dracula's familiar for
many
through conquest and he helps Dracula conquer a city and then move somewhere else and nurses him back but he has been given a taste of power, he has to eat bugs, I don't know.
Which was so funny and so random.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was lore I had never heard of.
I thought that too, and maybe I should have looked that up before.
It's like any bug did it, though. Like, they right? would just, like, search for earthworms in the pots.
Yeah, or at one point, there's this neighbor kid that randomly has an ant farm. He's like, I'm gonna fucking need that.
It worked. Yeah.
It did. So yeah, that's what it takes. He has to eat a bug.
Eat a bug.
To get the powers. So the way the movie starts out, it introduces you to who Renfield is, and he starts off by saying that he, at one point, had a family, he had a wife, he had a daughter, and what was he, a lawyer or some shit?
It had something to do with real estate, because he was trying to contact Count Dracula about his castle.
That's right.
And it was going to set his family up for, and it didn't turn out like he had originally thought.
Yeah, essentially, Dracula wined and dined him, and one thing led to another, and he became his familiar. He became the grump boy. He
big time
got his whole purpose in being Renfield is he gets shit to eat for Dracula, and so he did that for years and years. And like Arlo was saying, there was this cycle of they would be doing this and Dracula would gain power, be all high and mighty, but then you'd get all impulsive and Dracula like fuck shit up, and then they had to move. Yeah. And Nick Cage got fucked up at some point to the part where he was like in almost smithereens and like barely alive, so Renfield had to nurse him back to health, and they kept doing this for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
So eventually they end up in New Orleans, and Renfield starts to think, you know what, I'm kind of tired of this shit. So he starts attending the support group, which they never reveal what the name of it is, but it's these people talking about how they're in codependent relationships.
And it has a bit of a Fight Club feel in certain, because it's like he's not taking advantage of the group, but He's not there for the same reason everyone else is there.
Initially.
Yeah.
Initially, his whole agenda is to use these people as Dracula food.
Yeah.
But then he starts to relate to these people, and he's like, oh my god, I'm codependent.
And it's just to bring it back, this is a perfect example of trailers just giving too much away.
Yes. You know? Because there are some parts in that movie that would have been way funnier had I never seen the trailer.
Yeah.
But they did, you know, and so I am somebody that works in a mental health setting, and the whole play on codependency and the affirmations, and I found that entertaining, and it really did add to the humor of it. I would have enjoyed that better had the trailer not revealed everything. But yeah, so Renfield initially goes to this wanting to feed these people to Dracula, but then he's feeling a connection and realizing, like, oh my god, this is me. So he starts to kind of try to get his groove back. And he gets an apartment and paints it in pastels. And because he wears like 1800s clothing. And
he does have a costume change halfway through.
Yeah. And at one point, he inadvertently saves this cop from these drug lords. And she's one that's like Awkwafina, which we were talking about her earlier. Not super familiar with her other work. I really enjoyed her character
but
and her presence.
But she's not new to the scene.
No.
New to me, to us, maybe, but...
New to us, boomers, but... So, yeah, she's a New Orleans cop, and she's doing, you know, just like DUI test points or whatever, trying to get people through. She fucking hates it. Her whole, like, what fuels her fire is her fucking dad got murdered by these drug lords, so she's trying to pin them for some shit. Mm-hmm. Well, the one breezes by the DUI test point with all this cocaine, and she gets him, but it's not good enough. Well, Renfield accidentally takes down a bunch of his homies and whatever, and so she's all enamored by him and is like, oh my god, hero. And so they develop this camaraderie, so he's like, oh my god, I have a friend now. I'm in the support group. I'm a hero. I feel like shit for all the things that I've done for Dracula all these years. I'm going to start doing my own thing. So that's where the movie starts to evolve, and Nicolas Cage is starting to get full power. He is less of a burnt up pile of embers.
Yeah, I mean, because at the beginning, he literally is just pieces of...
Yeah, because at the very beginning of the movie, this isn't ruining anything, he gets burned in some capacity, and there's fucking priests involved, and I don't know, people from all over the Vatican come to stop him, and he does get burnt a little bit, and Renfield has the choice then to let him burn, but he's codependent, so he does.
He needs Dracula.
Yeah, he needs Dracula. Dracula needs him. So I think that's like pretty decent premise of the movie without ruining too much. Mm-hmm. Baby, what were your thoughts on this movie?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. I liked the tone of it, you know. It stayed pretty light with the, you know. Yeah. I thought the action is a lot of fun.
Yes.
You know. There's scenes where it's just over the top stuff. I like it.
Yeah, it put me in mind of Machete. In terms of I love the action.
Didn't expect it to go there.
Yeah. But. And I love the action that doesn't take itself seriously, that's just so ridiculous.
I think it worked with, because Nicolas Cage's Dracula is pretty terrifying.
At points, yeah.
He's not a sexy Dracula.
No.
He's a monster.
It's no Interview with the Vampire type of bullshit.
Yeah, so like they're in the universe where Dracula is
scary.
Very much, yeah. And, I thought it, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, they make him look pretty creepy at a few points, but then in full power, he's Nicolas Cage. And they don't ever let you forget that it's Nicolas Cage either. And even when he's a lump of coal, he's like, Renfield.
Oh, but he's got the whole mouth of sharp teeth, not just the fangs.
Yeah.
Know? It's like the Prince of Darkness, you know, kind of. Yeah, archangel kind of Dracula.
Yeah, he's never sexy Dracula. Uh-uh. He never even pretends. He's not like a glitter in the sunlight type of Twilight.
Yeah,
He's just, his whole thing of Dracula is, I want to have world domination. I want to fuck shit up. I'm thirsty.
Yeah. Yep, 100%.
I want a bus full of nuns or cheerleaders.
Or all of them.
Or all of them, yeah. Nicolas Cage, not for one second, he's not pretending to be a sexy vampire. He's not an Anne Rice vampire.
And I think this movie works for a larger crowd than just, you know, horror fans.
Oh, yeah, because...
You know, I would say that my brother would like this, and he's not... That's not his angle.
Honestly, like, if you want to, like, genre this movie, I would say... Horror comedy action. It does not take itself seriously.
Which I really like in the
movie. I do too. You know. More and more, like, and I've come to realize talking to people, our sister-in-law, Julia, I don't know if you'd listen to this, probably not, but if you do, I love you, but you asked for recommendations, and I realize I probably really let you down in recommendations, because a lot of the shit that I like is goofy, it's tongue-in-cheek. It's B, like, but you want the good shit. And sometimes I have that, but and I just like I'm in the mood, and that's the thing. Renfield was by no means an amazing movie, but it was such a good fucking time.
Yeah, it was, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I will say I don't know how you feel. I feel like the trailer did not ruin everything. There were scenes that would have been better, sure. Mm-hmm. But overall...
Well, it didn't give away the tone. I didn't know that it was going to be... Not that it was silly slapstick, but I didn't realize... The trailer doesn't give away the tone of the movie, I guess.
No. And the one thing, too, it was a lot gorier than I was expecting.
Oh, yeah.
But it was still a goofy gory, though. Like, there would be somebody get punched in the face and... 5 gallons of blood would come out of their head.
Right,
So, there's that. It wasn't like, I'm going to be sick, gore.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't Evil Dead.
Which, we're going to get to here shortly. But yeah, I mean, as a Cage fan, you know, I can only sell him so much in some shit. I will say, like, in terms of, like, good movies, Mandy... Fucking solid.
Oh, that was fun, yeah.
Excuse me. Willy's Wonderland, not for everyone, but it was for me. And like, so Nick Cage does have some solid, he has his solid moments where he's in good movies, but I would say the shitty movies probably outnumber it, and I respect why not everybody's into him. But watch Vampire's Kiss. Watch Mandy is a good fucking movie, and another one, I don't know if... I think Cam and I watched it. It's on Shudder. It's a Lovecrafty kind of movie. It's called The Color Out of Space, I think. That movie's solid. It's Mom and Dad is a lot of fun.
In terms of Rob Garrett, shout out.
Yeah.
Name dropping.
We gotta get him on the podcast one of these days. Talking about how the police academies make everybody a real man when you watch it. Yeah, fucking I do, you know, I love Nick Cage in sickness and in health. I mean, there's some movies that he's in that are total trash, and I've seen them.
Well, it's the law of averages.
Yeah.
It's like, he takes every project, and some of them are good, some of them are real good,
but the one,
there's a lot of dog shit.
So, in my workplace, there's a lot of Nicolas Cage haters. I do have one fellow companion that helps gets the word out of Nick Cage. And the one movie, if you guys haven't seen it, and this is not horror, but The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent was so good. If you have, like, if you just like movies, give it a chance. Take your prejudices of Nick Cage aside. But if you don't have any prejudices of Nick Cage, watch The Wicker Man. And you know, one of these days I need to do a podcast on that, because that is my favorite Nick Cage movie. It is terrible. Most people don't like it.
You gotta watch it with Lex.
Yeah.
Like, Watch it with chainsaw and it's fun. I promise.
He will, like, there's my shout out to my buddy Pennybags. We made a spinoff.
You need to have special guests when you do that.
Yeah. She lives in North Carolina. I need to get with her, but we, anyway, that's a whole different rabbit hole. Not everybody has time for that.
How about this Evil Dead?
Yeah. So, real quick before we go to Evil Dead, I don't know. I was going to say, what would you rate Renfield? I don't like the rating system because I think it's dumb. Like, I just loved it.
Yeah. And I would recommend it.
Yeah.
Would recommend.
Absolutely. I will say, like, in terms of the theme of this podcast, of the trailers ruining, it didn't ruin Renfield.
No, but
there was still always a lot of surprise.
If you've seen trailers for a movie, it changes how you watch it the first time.
It does. And so one thing we were talking about doing, like, from now on when we go to see a movie, which we do often because we don't ever look up this shit. So I think from now on, we're just going to start going late.
Yeah, which we kind of do. You know, unless we're meeting friends, we don't.
Yeah, and I'll just start taking longer shits because I've been rushing the shits before the movie. You guys, my after work shit is an important part of my ritual. It's a coming to Jesus moment that I've had with the day, and it's righteous. But sometimes after work, I rush the shit if I know we're going to the movie. Now I don't need to because
Because 7 o'clock start time is not 7 o'clock.
That's when they start. It's 7:20. Yeah.
And so, as much as I, you know, enjoy Maria Menounos.
Channel 1 News, yo! No,
it's okay if I don't see her.
We could just, like, YouTube her sometime. See how she's doing. Actually, lucky for you, she's at the gas pumps of Circle K sometimes.
Gee, lucky for me.
Sometimes you just go pump some gas. She's talking about the fucking almond milk she's drinking sometimes. But yeah, so the trailer of Renfield didn't ruin it, thank God. Because I was telling Arlo, there's a couple things in life, and God love people. I love people. I love my friends and stuff. There's two things in life that I get sent the videos for everything. One is ferrets, because I've had ferrets for years now. So I've seen, like, almost every single ferret video known to man. The second one is Nick Cage. Anything pertaining to Nick Cage. Sorry, guys. It's allergy season. I'm stuffy as shit. Nick Cage. Anytime a Nick Cage movie so much as is whispered, I get sent a trailer for it. And I'm appreciative. But so as soon as there was like an inkling of Renfield being coming, I was sent a trailer. So I've seen him for months now. And the trailers just kept getting longer and longer. I was starting to get real nervous. But no, Renfield is fucking rad. Check it out. I want to tell you guys a story real quick while Arlo's peeing. There's been a couple times where I thought I was going to meet Nick Cage. One was in my hometown of Sheffield Lake, Ohio. He was filming a movie. I waved my Nicolas Cage pillowcase along Lake Erie. Never summoned him, but my dick uncle and some other family members got to meet him. Maybe one day. It's unfortunate. The other time I was new to Twitter, I didn't know what the check marks were and all that happy bullshit, and I thought I was following Nick Cage, and then I get a message that says, "Hi, fan," and I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh my God. Cage just fucking messaged me. So I'm like, oh, hi, Nick. And just keep engaging him in conversation. And of course, I just say a bunch of shit. I'm like, I loved you in The Wicker Man. And all this stupid shit. And he just says, God bless you. And I start to be a little bit skeptical. I'm like, wait a minute. Nick Cage would never bless me with God. Ever. So I keep indulging him in engaging him in conversation, and come to realize, like, he is not a Twitter certified Nick Cage. I was telling this audience about two opportunities where I may or may not have met Nick Cage, and one of them was on Twitter when he just messaged me, "Hi, fan."
Blue check mark or no?
No. And that's when I learned all the like legitimacy of Twitter and all that bullshit. So maybe one of these days I'll meet Nick Cage. Nick, if you ever listen to this podcast, you won't. But if you did, dude, I would love to be your friend.
It will put you up if you're ever in Akron.
Yeah. We have a fine cat-covered guest bed. Your picture is not above it now, but maybe it could be if it would make your stay a little more accommodating. I don't know. I remember like 10 years ago or so when I was living down in Columbus, there was this little trend on the internet going out where it sounded fake, and it was. If you put up a sign that said Murray can crash here, the legend was that Bill Murray would just like come to college parties and crash on your couch. Nick Cage, I won't hold up a sign. You just know there's always a welcome, open invitation in my home.
It's out there now.
I got a lot of cats, and I've heard you like them. Anyway, enough about Nick. Let's move on to Evil Dead. So, Arlo, let's explain that end of things. You didn't go see that movie, and I don't ruin shit about movies, so I'm not going to ruin shit for you. But you are probably never watched this movie, and explain to them why.
Well, it's just not... It's not my... I knew if I went, it would be an hour and a half of uncomfortable. I don't enjoy that kind of horror. Yeah, it's not my bag.
No, and we might have talked about this on one of the other podcasts, but you had Faces of Death that, you know, unfortunately gave you that end of horror.
I don't like the physical horror, yeah. So like a cheese grater to the shin bone, like I enjoy it, but I'm glad that I don't have to be there for it. That's not how I want to spend my time.
Yes. And so Arlo...
I wasn't excited that this is coming out.
Arlo has seen a lot of trailers of this movie alongside of me. And actually, so I went to go see it with Rachel and Corey. Rachel was also kind of halfway about not wanting to go see it. But then at the last minute was like, you know what? We're going to go.
Yeah, I mean, Evil Dead, you know, it's I like the campy stuff. You know, I like the Army of Darkness was the one that I, you know, that's what I would go for. I don't know. I don't like the physical horror like that.
It's hard to watch. And
because you just know, I know that they're going to go over the top with it in a way that, like, isn't going to be fun for me.
And I'm with you in the sense that when human bodies encounter or do things that they're not meant to do, it's tough. It's tough.
I'd rather challenge myself with hot sauce.
Right?
And be uncomfortable. Like, I don't know. It's so unappealing to me.
Actually, I'm not going to lie to you. I would take this movie any day over Da Bomb.
Well, that tastes like shit.
Any of you Hot Ones fans, you know what the fuck we're talking about. The Bomb is disgusting.
It's just garbage.
There's a reason why they leave the lineup anytime. Anyway, you're getting out another rabbit hole. I would love to talk about that sometime. So
mainly this is your, you know, talk here. Because I didn't see it. I didn't want to see it. And spoilers aren't a problem for me.
And I'm not going to spoil anything because I don't like to. But this is another one I will say saw way too many trailers for. I thought this movie was damn near perfect if I hadn't seen all the trailers that I did.
And the trailers definitely helped me realize, I don't
want to see this.
So that as much as they show
the cheese grater shit in the movie. I mean the trailer, yeah, don't they? And
it's been, you know, we go to a few movies each month and we've seen these previews and they got longer and longer through,
yeah,
you know, leading up to the you know, the drop date or whatever.
Yeah.
And I definitely knew that I didn't want to, cuz they just ruin stuff, you know, like.
And that's why I feel like I would have given this movie a complete unobjected 10 out of 10 had I not seen any trailers. I would say it was a 9 out of 10, and here's why. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because you're going to see it, you would be excited with a title.
Yeah.
That's all, like, that's all this I would is say. Happening. Okay, I'm going to go see it. You don't need to see a single trailer to be excited about it, you know.
And I think I've probably projected this again and again. I will watch anything, no matter how I feel about it. When I first found out about this movie, I was a little skeptical because I heard Sam Raimi wasn't doing it. But that's not necessarily true, because him and Bruce Campbell were producers and, like, instrumentally involved in this movie.
They're not, yeah.
They were passing along the torch. And I don't know if I've told any of you guys this ever before. I've watched as many horror remakes. I'll watch them all. Evil Dead has been my favorite remake of all time. Actually, when I showed it to Arlo, when I went to show it to him for the first time, I changed my mind, and I was like, let's watch Drag Me to Hell instead.
Good choice. And it was a good choice.
Which Drag Me to Hell is so good. And if they say they're remaking that this year, I'm going to say fuck all the way off. But the Evil Dead remake is definitely my favorite horror remake of all time, because it pays homage to the original but does its own thing. But, you know, that one has, like, really next to no campiness about it, which is the one thing that, you know, there's a tree rape scene in the original Evil Dead, but there's so much camp to it. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And that's why, like, the Evil Dead is a little easier to take than maybe some of the other ones.
Which is, yeah, that's why I like that one. And, you know, they get harder to watch.
Yeah. What's your favorite Evil Dead movie?
Army of Darkness. See, yeah, easily, hands down. And it's the one that's not part of it all anymore.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that for a second. So I want to say, like, Army of Darkness is a close second, but my favorite is Evil Dead 2, just because of the pure premise of, like, Ash didn't learn the first time.
Yeah, this went really horribly the first time.
So he's gonna do it again. And that's when it's like, like, the humor.
Yeah.
And then it ends with, we're transitioning to Army of Darkness. So,
it's the effects of, I just love the...
Oh, yeah.
All the stop motions.
It's, yeah, actually, and so all of our movies are packed away right now because I'm painting the horror room again, which don't really get me talking about that too much. That's why I was in a funk earlier. It's not that serious. It's just, you run into dumb fucking bullshit thinking you're going to do something simple. Whatever. When this room is done, it's going to look tits.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to get all the horror movies back out. But so we have all the Evil Deads. I have, I didn't watch past the first season, but I do have the first season of Ash vs. Evil Dead. But I forget the logistics of that, but somehow they didn't have the rights to Army of Darkness, so it wasn't mentioned at all, or...
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's left out.
But I don't know, the Evil Dead franchise has a special place in my heart. But with the remake, they definitely did start to go in a different direction, which I totally respect. If you're gonna keep a franchise going, I think the important shit with that is that you pay respect to the original, but you have to do your own thing.
It can't just be
No.
nostalgia, because then what are you doing?
Yeah, or else it's just boring. Mm-hmm. So, I think the remake did that very well, and this one gave me vibes like it was going to do something similar. Let me tell you, if you thought that the remake was gory, this is kind of a Terrifier 2 situation. Or if you thought the Terrifier was gory, the Terrifier 2 made it look like a Disney movie. That's kind of what Evil Dead Rise did with the remake. Buckle the fuck up.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I made the right decision.
I think you did. And that's the thing. Like, I don't... You know, Arlo is such a good fucking sport. He's here on this podcast. He does watch a lot of the movies with me, but I will not coerce. I will not lie to him. I will not make him watch something that I know he's not going to like. Baby, I don't think that this was your speed. Oh, I said that
I knew, right away. I knew that it wasn't, you know. Yeah. And it, yeah, I enjoy this lane, but it's not my, you know, for, you know.
I will say, like, I was...
It's not all for me.
I was stressed out the entire movie, even though I had seen a lot of the scenes, and that sucked. I felt like if I went in blindly, 10 out of 10, what I will say, without ruining any scenes, there were some things that happened that I was like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. Immediately, though, within the first scene, they're paying homage to the original Evil Deads, and it did not start. It was not a slow start. It was not. And the whole premise of the movie, like, it takes place in this rundown, janky apartment complex in L.A. The fact that this shit, Army of Darkness took place somewhere else. Right. But in the terms of the Evil Dead universe, it takes place in an apartment in L.A. How does it get there? Fucking watch and find out. But, and it just, so it spiced it up a little bit in that variety. It just kept getting nuttier and nuttier. But at the same time, I was cracking up. Because it still had that humor.
Yeah.
Part of it, like, I was laughing because I was uncomfortable, but it was still funny as fuck. Like, and now my coworker and I are chanting things at work. Like, probably shouldn't be doing this around psych patients. But I would say I'm going to watch it again in a couple days. Oh, baby, I know you wouldn't like it. I wish that you could watch it, but the premise of this movie is it's this mom and her three kids. They're living in this apartment complex in LA. It's an old, like, bank vault. It used to be a bank in, like, the 20s, but they, you know, covered it up, paved it over, and made it an apartment building.
Yeah.
Well, you come to find out that they're about to demolish and condemn this apartment building. The mom's sister comes back from, like, Thailand or some shit. She's a guitar technician. She finds out that she's pregnant, and she relies on her older sister for a lot of shit. So she comes to, like, kind of be like, sis, help me. But meanwhile, this is all happening, and she's like, God damn it, now I gotta help my sister, who is possessed, because the sister's son, there's an earthquake that happens because it's L.A., so the parking garage gets split open. And this son, he's a little DJ. He's like 15 years old. He's like, yeah, I'm scratching some records. And when they, because the kids go to get a pizza, and they come back and there's an earthquake. And they're like, wah, wah. And at first they don't want to drop the pizza. And I'm like, it'll be fine. Earthquake pizza, I'm sure, is just as good as any other pizza. But so the earthquake happens, and then there's a big hole in the ground. The son's like, wonder what's in there. So he finds the Book of the Dead. There's a giant bank vault in there from the old bank. And he finds this vinyl, which, have you seen Lords of Salem?
No.
Very similar vibe, where Sherry Moon Zombie listens to a fucking vinyl, and it's creepy or something. And
there's some kind of possession.
Yeah, but only when this kid listens to it. It's priests talking about how they found the Book of the Dead. And so it is a little bit of a stretch about how it got there from the cabin. But the opening scene is, and actually you forget as the movie goes on, it says, after the opening scene happens, then it jumps to a day earlier. So it does connect. But, so yeah, this little DJ boy hops in a hole and gets a vinyl in the Book of the Dead. And then he's like, it's all my fault. And the aunt's saying, no, no, honey, it's not all your fault. He's like, no, it fucking is, though. I opened this book because I'm a... And I remember at one point during the movie, just being me, he jumps in there. I was like, how can you be a DJ when you're stuck in a hole? You can't.
He has a point.
Like, just go back and do your DJ shit. But if he hadn't done that, then there wouldn't have been a movie.
Right.
So, I will say, like, the cheese grater scene, it's not easy to watch. That's one of the harder ones.
Yeah. Which is something that's in the preview.
Mm-hmm.
Trailer, I mean.
And honestly, that's the thing that was disappointing about it, is a lot of those scenes that we saw in the trailer, in terms of, like, shock value shit, it didn't go beyond that. You didn't see a whole lot new in terms of that storyline. There was more that you didn't know about.
Right.
But in terms of, like, the shocking shit, they showed a lot of that in the trailer, which, fuck, because that would have made it so much better. I would say, though, honestly, it was a solid fucking movie. I really had to decompress when I came home.
Mm-hmm.
And after a 20-minute drive, I have this watch now that checks heart rate and shit. I didn't check it, but I guarantee you it was up. Because you're not there. It's stressful, but then you laugh, and then it's stressful again.
And yeah, and it was 420, so I stayed home and did the right thing.
Make my blunt chronic. I want to get fucked up. But that's the thing, too. So the night before, I watched this. I was watching Demons, that horror movie from the 80s, that where the people go to the movies, and as they're watching the movie, the shit from the movie starts happening to them. I told Rachel, I was like, I'll be goddamned if this shit starts happening to me. If that cheese grater comes to my leg, somebody please take me out peacefully, because I don't want to encounter that. So, oh, I forgot we had a cat in here.
Podcast.
She was being so peaceful. Normally she's all up in our shit. So I would say between Renfield and Evil Dead, go see both of them. Totally different movies. The Renfield trailers didn't ruin Renfield nearly as much as Evil Dead did.
And it's fun. It's a good flick. Yeah. It's worth seeing.
Now, you know, the month of April has been pretty hopping. We
also,
saw
Mario was awesome.
Mario!
Mario was awesome.
And Jack Black finally got in the top 100.
Yeah. Peaches.
Which we were like, how did he not get that with fucking Tenacious D?
But, I mean, the Mario movie made a couple hundred million dollars. So
yeah.
That's exposure like Tenacious D never had.
True, but
I mean, he's been doing it for years, but
I don't know. Yeah.
Peaches.
Peaches. Yeah, we've had a happening week for movies. So last Saturday we saw Mario 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Saw Renfield on Monday. I saw Evil Dead Thursday. And now definitely want to see the Pope's Exorcist, even though, like, I think Exorcist movies are generally kind of shitty. But Russell Crowe's fighting around the world.
I don't know. I thought it looked good.
It did. I
thought
was
it looked like it could be good again.
Yeah, I see potential. And then Bo is Afraid is out. Ari Aster.
I'm going to take a nap and then go check it out.
Yeah, Arlo and I need maybe to call off of a day of work.
Coffee enemas.
That's coffee enemas. And then, like, the espresso chocolate beans in our nostrils, like, maybe some meth. Yeah, because generally, when I hear a 3-hour movie, I'm immediately disinterested. But since he's done Hereditary and Midsommar,
yeah, no, I'm super intrigued. But
I just, but so maybe actually maybe tomorrow we do that.
All right.
I didn't look at
it's
shit.
It's gotta be a matinee, though.
Yeah.
It's gotta be a matinee.
That's not an after work movie that we go to see.
No.
So that, and that's not really depicted as a horror movie. It kind of looks like a, I don't know, like an on drugs Forrest Gump almost. Like where there's,
I mean, I think he's, you know, I think Bo has issues.
And so does Joaquin Phoenix.
Sure.
So it's a no, that's the shit. Fucking The Joker, great movie. It's a documentary. It's not.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Anything where Joaquin Phoenix is crazy, documentary. He's not really trying very hard.
He's just being himself.
He's just being himself. So that's coming out. I don't know of any other horror movies that are coming out immediately. I know Guardians of the Galaxy and shit. Oh, that was the one thing at the end of Evil Dead. Corey, Rachel, and I had to pee so bad, but they had kept the lights off. So Corey was like, hang on a second, looks like they're trying to do something. Like, show a little.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what, are they tying Evil Dead to the Marvel Universe? I don't give a shit. I gotta pee.
There's no nugget. Let's go.
Although, Sam Raimi had directed the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man and the Doctor Strange. And so,
oh, really?
It wouldn't be, like, out of the complete question, but I was like, no, fuck this shit. I gotta pee so bad. And yeah, it did nothing. And
that's funny.
So, yeah, well, there's some shit that we got coming up to look forward to, you know, this month. And there's this movie that I saw a trailer for called The Blackening, like, that looks like a fun horror comedy. I think, oh, wow. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I forgot that this app cuts me off after 60 minutes. And it was like, keep an eye. We're only at 45. But I do want to cut it off because I got to pee. All right, y'all. Look at that camera, that camera, that camera. I'm sorry. I'm doing Hot Ones shit again. They're like, what camera? We just hear your stupid ass voice. Babe, any last words?
Go to the movies. It's fun.
Go to the movies. Get off your couch. And send us your bones.
Send us your bones. We're having a telephone.
Send us your bones. All right, y'all. Stay spooky.
One love.
One love. Peace.